True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. It is 6:02 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down Baffin Bay Way and check in with Captain Rihanna Dela Cruz, see what she's up to this morning. Good morning, Rihanna. What's up?
Good morning, Mickey. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. And you?
I can't complain. I'm sitting here on my boat just anticipating the next day. Today and tomorrow, of course. This week started off really steady with our trout bite. I'll admit that starting early this week, it was just pretty consistent, you know, leading off of that new moon. And, we were on some pretty good big trout. I mean, they were just feeding pretty aggressively. And then of course, this little cold front that came in changed up the dynamics a little bit, and it always does. It's funny when you go week by week through the month, the trend, especially this time of year in spring, excuse me, whenever, you know, they're spawning, you know, temperatures are rising. Of course, we're still in waders in May. It's May and we're still in waders, which is weird because I know last year we had a little minor cold front that came through kind of mid-April, and so we wore waders. I remember we wore waders one day, but with it being early May, we're still in waders. It's a little odd. Yesterday just had that, like, get ready for Thanksgiving dinner kind of feel to it. It was very strange. Of course, yesterday that front blew in. And it brought some pretty heavy storms, but it all blew through pretty quick. We got probably half an inch of rain here at the house, so it didn't flood the area. It didn't bring a tremendous amount of rainfall in our back lakes, our estuaries. I think it just kind of it brought a good little layer of fresh water, but nothing like that last time when it downpoured. So I was a little worried about that. I said, well, these storms are moving along pretty quick, and they were pretty aggressive storms. One, we caught the tail end of one here, and that rain, you could hear it. It was coming in sideways. Yeah. It was blowing so hard. We fished Friday yesterday and then today. But before this cold front came in, I was just hoping for the best. You know, I get real excited about prefrontal fishing. I'm like, you know, there's a lot of opportunities. There's a lot of things that could happen. But what really and truly would happen is the bite got weird. They were barely grabbing it. I mean, they weren't committing. We had several fish that came unbuckled for both groups. I'm running this trip with Kim Golden, so we've got eight ladies total. and we're at different areas, dissecting different areas, different structures. And so all of our bites were very similar yesterday and the day before yesterday. I'm just barely grabbing it, you know, like they just don't really quite want it, you know, when they just kind of barely grab it, and then all of a sudden you hook them and they get hooked on the outside of the mouth, or that lure's kind of on the outside and they just start skirting up across the water and they come unbuckled, that kind of a bite.
Yeah.
And so yesterday we let that front pass through because it was gusting 30 the northwest, and it let up in the afternoon, and I thought, man, if it lets up, that might be a really good opportunity. And so yesterday had that very, very cool just feel to it. Overcast, it was really beautiful. Like I said, it looked like a day in November. It was very odd. And so we made an afternoon wade, and we found some trout water. I mean, just that emerald green mullet skirting across the water, trout-looking water. And we didn't pull a big bite. We caught some good keeper trout. If we wanted to keep a limit, we would have all had a limit of trout, but nothing real big. You know, of course, we're fishing structure that's hard packed sand, a little bit of scattered grass up shallow. I will say, first thing, the first wade that we made, I was working a Corky Devil, and I was way up shallow. I had all the ladies out on this parallel drop off because I figured maybe they're out there just kind of suspending on that drop off. So they went out there and they were dissecting that area. I went up shallow. I was throwing a Corky Devil. I just wanted one big bite. I wanted one big committed bite on that Corky Devil. So I was working that upper column. I like for that Corky Devil to almost be slapping right out of that water.
Uh-huh.
Sure enough, I had two trout that came up. They both came up on that upper column and grabbed it. I said, that looks like a double D bite to me. So switched over to a double D, and I don't know the name of the color. It's just a very beautiful color. It's got pink all on the bottom, and it's got black all on the top, and it's got a copper insert. And so I switched over to that, and sure enough, I got broke off. She came out of the water and grabbed it. I set that hook and she broke off. I said, that's probably my fault. I probably didn't check that leader line when I caught those two little trout. They gnawed on it a little bit. That's all it took. And she broke off.
Yeah.
And so I told the ladies, I said, I just switched to a double D. The two bites before that, they were coming up on the upper column and grabbing it. So, and of course that double D is a suspending twitch bait. That's why I switched over to it, because it's just kind of a middle to upper column type lure. If that's the trend in the bite, that's typically the lure that I like to work. And of course there's a little bit of grass on the bottom, floating grass too, so you could really work that middle column with that lure.
Yeah.
So sure enough, that was it. That was the lure. So they all switched to double D's. When I went back to the bus, I'm gonna go see if I have another one. I didn't. I only had one of them. I was like, of course, that's my luck. I only brought one double D.
Oh, no.
But that's usually how it goes. Some of the ladies were throwing topwaters, had a couple of blow-ups. It just seemed like the trend. They were early in the morning. We had that low pressure. You know, there was dark clouds. It was kind of rainy. It was a little bit, you know, cool. And they were feeding upwards. They were coming up on that upper column. And then later in the day, that bait kind of just settled down. You could see it just kind of went down, and switched to tail, got a couple bites on tail. But there were not many folks out yesterday. It was pretty western. First thing when we went out there, we went out there around, I think we headed out at 11. And we made the most out of the afternoon. Typically, when these little fronts come in like that, and I've got a group, that wind will lie down in the afternoon and it can actually really turn on and be a stellar bite right after it's blown in, or it's still continuing to blow. We've had good bites leading post frontal. But it wasn't yesterday. And you know, I always like to be honest about the bite and what's been happening for me. And now it's not always rainbows and butterflies every day. You know, I mean, I always tell people, people are like, man, you know, you've got such a fun job. You're catching big trout all the time. I'm like, man, you don't know about the bad days though. And we have plenty of them. I always say it's funny how the bad comes with the good and vice versa. You know, it's worth it. It's rewarding whenever you do have those good days, and I take advantage, and I'm very thankful for all those good days when we have a good steady bite. But then you've also got those days when it's a grind. And of course, here in Baffin, we all know it can oftentimes be a one bite kind of day here in the back. No water flow, you know, it's just wind driven, mullet driven. And we're not seeing a whole lot of shrimp. I haven't seen a whole lot of shrimp here in the back. I just don't think the water is warm enough. Water temperature right now is 81 degrees. So it's borderline comfortable for wet wading. I'm in waders this morning.
I threw my waders in the truck last night.
Good deal. I'm glad.
I felt the temperature dropping, and I'm going, you know what? I might be a lot of things, but I'm not going to be miserable.
No, and actually several of the ladies yesterday wet waded, and they were comfortable and of course we waded in the afternoon, so we waded during the warmer day part of the day, and so they were comfortable. Now in the morning, yeah, it would have been a different story. Like right now it's not humid. Of course this front has blown all that humidity out. It's a little bit more crisp. That run going to wherever we are in the morning, that first wade is usually the coolest. So definitely bring your waders. I told these ladies, I said, better to have them and not need them and need them and not have them. So yeah, bring them with you and in case they're needed. And of course, that this temperature has dropped tremendously compared to how hot it has been.
Y'all are probably in the low 70s down there, huh?
Yes, it right now it feels like it's about 78, 80 degrees, somewhere in between there right now. I'm sitting on the boat right now, just sitting here talking to you, but it feels very nice this morning.
Yeah, I'm showing 72 in Corpus right now.
Wow, yep, that's about right.
Better than, you know, that's probably about a 10-degree drop from what you normally have this time of morning.
Yeah, usually in the morning when I step out that door, it's about 82, 84, and it's a humid 82, 84. You can just walk outside, feels like you're walking in a sauna. Not this morning. And then tomorrow morning, it's probably going to be pretty similar.
Yeah,
winds are going to pick up a little bit
this morning.
Oh, wow. I bet that feels wonderful.
It does feel good, I must admit.
Yeah. What lures are you bringing tomorrow? What do you have set up in your bag?
Man, I've got everything. I've got corkies and fat boys and tons of soft plastics and lilies, hot rods, 7M mirror lures, spook junior, spook, big spooks, one knockers. I got top dogs. She dogs. Hey,
all of it. You name it.
Put me a little wading box together, and you know, well, I'll get check with you and see what the bite was like today. I don't have to carry a tackle store out there wading around.
I get some guys that have like 9 million lures, and we still don't pull a bite. And I'm like,
you use
know
one
what?
Lure all day, and you got millions of them.
Yeah, like, but you know what? I always say, can you really have too much stuff? And I don't think you can. But as long as you have what you need, and it's always good to have a variety of different colors and profiles, and you know, you just never know what they might want that day. They might want something real small, or you know, a wider body. Paddle tail, or you know, who knows? I mean, these fish are oftentimes very picky, and especially seems like this time of year when they're spawning, coming off of a new moon, it can be tricky. I'll admit, it can be a tricky bite. Sometimes you just gotta pull one. You gotta put one right in front of their nose, and
Well, you know, you just pull this front, and now we're going to get the flow back out of the east and southeast, and then here we go with another front coming Wednesday or Thursday. So,
goodness, I haven't even looked that far out yet.
Oh, yeah. Got another one coming this week.
Is it a pretty strong one or minor?
About like this one.
Okay. Wow. Wow. Interesting. That's going to bring some pretty cool patterns. I'm sure it's going to, it might bring some opportunities as well. You just never know. Of course, we will see. That's right. But leading into the full moon is always the toughest for me.
See, and that's when it's better up here. I like fishing, you know, the week outside up to the full moon. We get big movements of fish. They move a lot up here, and the bite gets really
Do you have? So. You have a lot of big tide fluctuation during that full moon up there?
Yeah, now we're on some big fluctuations right now with a two tide day. You know, we're getting a 2-foot change up here.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Real low in the mornings and then pouring in all day.
Yes. You know, a week and a half ago, maybe I mentioned that to you whenever I was staying over there on the island by Marker 37. I know the morning before I had talked to you, I had looked at the tide, and there's a dock at the place that we were staying at. You could see all the shells and stuff that was just the barnacles on those docks. I mean, the tide was very, very low. Yeah. And then the next morning, after I had talked to you, I walked around, just went for a morning walk, and I walked down by the water, and I swear that water came up at least 8 to 10 inches.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
it was just
a lot for down there.
Oh, yes. It was a tremendous jump. I'm thinking, golly, that's a lot of tide movement in that short of a period of time. That's how
it
goes.
I wish we had more time to talk. I wish you could talk longer, but I've got a break I have to take. So, Rihanna,
yes, sir,
if somebody wants to call you about fishing, give them a number so they can come down.
My number is 361-296-5400. I've got some days available later this month. Wade Fishing in Baffin Bay. Give me a call. Let's go find them.
All right. Well, cool.
All righty, Vicky.
I'll
see
to
you tomorrow.
Later. All right.
All righty. Take
see
care.
Ya. All right. Bye-bye. Later. Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers located at the base of the Texas City Dyke at 227 Dyke Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, there's no better way to live your bait. And it's the best you can get. And with the auction response, that's the way to go. It'll keep your bait alive, plus it's great for tournament fish also. And while you're by the store, check all of their wild-caught guff shrimp. They've got all their different sizes, 9, 12s, 15, 18 count, whatever you're looking for. They have it. Great price, great selection. And crawfish season, we're right in the height of it. And Boyd's is Crawfish Central. They got it going on. Whether you want to order them by the sack and pick them up, boil them yourself, or go to their Santa Fe location or their Cajun Grill right there at the dike, they put out a really good recipe and quality crawfish. And check them out on the web at boydsonestop.com. And if you need more info on that auction response, call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107 or call the store 409-945-4001. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 6:22 here in the Bayou City. Let's run up to Richland Chambers Reservoir and let's check in with our good friend, Mr. Royce Simmons. Royce, good morning. Hey. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I can't complain, man. It's all good.
I thought about you yesterday about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock when we'd finished up cleaning fish and we're headed back and across the Trinity River, and it was just darn near out of its banks.
It's just,
what does that do to you when it comes down to your gulf? I know it messes things up, but does it just totally stop fishing?
Well, it does in certain parts of the bay, if it's bad enough. And then if it's real extreme, it hurts fishing. This is a huge bay complex down here, and I've seen it covered totally up and just ruin it all, where you have to fish right on the coast.
Yeah, I'll give you an opposite end of the spectrum story. We've had, several rounds of 2 to 3 to 5 inch rains in the watershed over the last 2 weeks or so, and the creeks
that.
Creeks are still, they're not flooded, but they're flowing pretty good, and the little lakes that feed those creeks above us are out of their banks, so we'll still have some water coming down the pike for the next few weeks. And when we left yesterday, the spillway gates a couple of weeks ago, they opened them up two out of 24 gates, which isn't a whole lot of water and current, but the last 2 or 3 days, they've had 12 of the 24 gates open and dumping as much water as they can. And you would think that a fish might just go on strike or whatever. We had a two-boat, eight-person party yesterday and cleaned 200 fish limit. It takes a lot to stop a white bass from biting. You know that?
It really does. They're like piranhas, man.
Yeah, we got so many of them in the lake. The one thing I have noticed, though, in the last 10 days or so, and it's not all bad, but we early spring catching some fish that were going to spawn on the main lake instead of going up the creeks, and they're big fish with loaded with roe and whatever. And in the last week or 10 days, we've, like example yesterday, those eight people probably caught 400 fish but kept 200 of them, their limit or whatever. And those we threw back were small fish, next year's keepers, which again, that's not all bad, but we've just had a tremendous amount of small fish that are about less than 1 year old from last year's spawn. So
right,
lake condition I think overall with fish is okay. The only thing I've heard, and I don't know, I'm not an expert on it, but we've had so many stripers, hybrids, put in the lake the last few years trying to catch up with COVID years when they didn't give us near as many. And my crappie guys that kind of keep me posted on what's happening are kind of singing the blues. They just did not have a good crappie season this year at all, so they immediately jumped to the conclusion that the hybrids are eating their bait and the fish. So I don't know if there's any fact to it or not.
Oh, no. Well, we see that with redfish up here. We've got so many bull reds in our bay system now that, every time I fish and I reel in a small pencil trout, a 12 or 14 incher. Well, the other day I had one about 18 inchers and a bull red was trying to eat it at the boat, about a 40 inch bull red. So,
isn't it something?
There may be something to that,
Texoma, I think, is a pretty good example, and it's overall a really good fishery. They run a bass tournament that's big time. You occasionally hear good results. The catfishing and whatever is just excellent, and I think they're pretty good crappie bite usually in the spring, summer, but their stripers up there, they surprised Mother Nature and reproduced and had just thousands of those fish, a lot of undersized fish, you know, they go through. But it doesn't seem to have hurt the overall fishery, so I don't know. So, but we had a good spring going just in the last couple of weeks, too. We've kind of started that early morning shallow water, both hybrids and bigger whites mixed in, chasing that bait in the shallow water with the shad hatch is just kind of come, and now everything's feeding. But we hadn't had that top water bite truly start in earnest yet. It's just a little bit too early and not warm enough. But we put on the spinning rod info and our baits and the MEP spinners and stuff like that a couple of times in the last couple of weeks when I've had folks that could, you know, handle the casting and stuff early and caught some pretty nice little hybrids mixed in with the white bass. So yeah, we got that to look forward to in the latter spring and early summer. So it's all pretty good right now. The lake is, like I say, about a foot above pool level, but the water clarity on the main lake is still good. Right. I hadn't been having to go up the creeks to some of my latter spring, you know, kind of honey holes that when the main lake gets a little tough or gets a little crowded, it's just been one of those springs where we've stayed on the main lake, burned less gas and had more fishing time. And, I don't know, traffic on the lake, it's kind of still the same old, same old. You know, weekdays are very quiet, and then the Saturdays, you throw a bass tournament or two on it, and you get a few extra boats out. But yesterday, just a beautiful spring day, a little bit of a north breeze to contend with, but, you know, we overcame that. So it's been kind of a normal spring on Richland Chambers with a lot of fish being caught and a lot of people, you know, finding them pretty easily most days.
Well, that sounds good.
It is good. It's been good, and I don't anticipate anything different. We got our 1 or 2 day weather forecast this week of another round of thunderstorms. About, I think it was Tuesday, Wednesday. I was looking at that.
We got another little, I think, frontal system coming through again. Here we go again, man.
Yeah, you know, I just hesitate to tell people don't, but when you get I think Tuesday has a 90 or 100% chance of thunderstorms along with a little wind, you don't want people coming up, staying in a cabin and then been watching it rain all day. So we usually end
yeah,
up
they stay
canceling.
Home and do that, huh?
it hurts you, but you know, that's the one day usually in the spring that they got booked for a trip, and especially if it comes on a Saturday, you know, the people that can't fish are during the weekday, they kind of keep that on their calendar and look forward to it. And then I don't know, weatherman, they're right, maybe 50% of the time still. You'd think I'd learn over 25 years not to believe them, but I've had a couple of times we cancel, and here comes that next morning when we cancel, and uh-oh, we should be fishing today.
Should be fishing. How many times have we done that in our careers, man? Let me knock this break out, Royce. I'll come right back at you, man. Hang on
a
second, brother.
No problem.
Thank you. All right. Well, the Belleville Meat Market, what a great place to shop for grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken, along with their full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., along with pecan smoked pulled pork, homemade hot dogs, and check out their smoked sausage samples. They have those available daily in the store. And check out their bulk pricing on fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage, along with homemade hot dogs, original and with cheddar cheese, hamburger patties, stuffed pork tenderloin, stuffed peppers, stuffed mushroom. Let the Belleville Meat Market be your backyard barbecue block party headquarters. And this year they're introducing their new Chuck Wagon patties. That's a half-pound beef patty seasoned to perfection with cheddar cheese. And it's really stuffed and loaded. And their wild game processing, can't say enough about that operation. Check out their new sausage recipe that's available. You got to try it. It's really good. Along with that, get deer tamales and venison hot dogs made. Your family will love that you did. And the Belleville's been celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. Final segment on this Sunday morning. All right, Royce, we are back, my friend. Thanks for holding.
Well, I was going to ask you a question. Lakes over in the far east and south of us up here, what's their conditions? Did they get enough of that rain? And I know my friends and customers that come from way south Texas and stuff, they're still talking drought, and we're talking flood stage.
Oh, yeah. You know, south Texas and, you know, parts of central Texas, just lakes are just, it's pitiful. But
Conroe and Livingston and stuff, okay, fishable?
Everybody's good, full to the brim. I think Livingston's, I don't know, I think it's a little over a foot above pool right now. They're letting out about 25,000. They're about a foot and a quarter above pool. And Rayburn's up, and, I mean, and fishing's good. You know, white bass fishing's been, you know, phenomenal on Lake Livingston also.
Yeah, I was listening to one of my cohorts that guides up on Texoma that is on another station up in the Dallas area giving a report before I gave a report, and they were, I think, headed towards 6 feet above their full pool level. They were at a point where they were still catching fish, but they were about to put people in a flat bottom or a canoe or whatever off the bank to get them out to the boats because you couldn't get out on the docks to get into the boats. So I don't know. It's goodness. It's one extreme to the other in a big old state like this. You just, I don't know. We every year or two get in a drought situation and it goes from, you know, moderate to severe. But by and large, we get our 30 plus inches of rain and don't have to worry too much about a lake level going down as dramatic as they do in South and West Texas. So
I remember there for a while, you were, man, it seemed like forever y'all were about 6 or 7 foot low. When was that? Like around 2013, 14, somewhere in there?
This really dates us now, Mickey, but way back in the late 90s,
we had about a long time.
we had a 4-year drought way back when, not too many years after we first started in the guide business. And then, you know, the 20-teens, we had about a 4-year period that people were mowing the grass underneath their boat dock for about 4 years.
I remember that. That's what I was talking about was, like from 2011 to 2014, somewhere in there. I remember that was some lean years on water, buddy.
It was, and everything was just—it's just sad, you know. You people, we never missed trips. We were very close at the marinas, a few on the lake. That, you know, they were putting rock at the end of the boat ramp so that you could launch and stuff, and they were just about out of a drip of water to put a rock in to load, and both. In both of those extreme 4-year drought periods, that drought was busted with 20-inch type rains that came over about a 2 or 3 day period, and literally fill the lake back up. And we're talking our lake, a 45,000 acre lake, you know, that was 10 to 11 foot low at the worst I've ever seen it, fill back up within a couple of weeks. It's a lot of water.
That is, man. It's hard to believe. Texas weather extremes, man. It's just, I think we've been getting flooded. I think our first big flood was in 2015, and that's when our fishing kind of, we started getting knocked around down here on in my bay system. 2015, we had a bad flood. 2016, another bad flood. Then 2017, we had the mother of all floods, and that was from off of Hurricane Harvey that hit Rockport. It buttoned hooked over this way and kind of became stationary and then made a circle back on top of us. It was, they predicted it to head to the west, but it didn't. It turned around and came back. And I think we got, well, we broke every rainfall record there is.
Yep.
I don't know, in my area, in Baytown area, I think we had 53 inches.
Golly.
Over Beaumont, Port Arthur way, they had rainfall totals anywhere from 63 to 70 inches. I mean, unbelievable. And that wiped us out. It completely flushed Galveston Bay. Completely.
Isn't that something? Yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah. I don't know. Those major catastrophic type stuff, it seems to change. I don't know how you'd kind of explain it. There's certain patterns that are going to be there regardless of what happens. A springtime main lake pattern on some humps and points and whatever where these white bass will go. It don't matter if you're 10 or 12 feet down or if you're, you know, like right now, 12 or 24 gates open and dropping a lot of water, creating currents. Those fish are going to be there. But other things like honey holes way up the creeks where you go to get out of the weekend traffic or the summertime, you know, that's your secret little spot that you can always get you a box of fish. They don't produce anymore. I've got some spots like I just tried to describe that hadn't produced in 3 or 4 years, you know, just it changes a pattern. I don't understand it totally why they do that, because it doesn't seem like there's any less fish in this lake, but maybe they are. I don't know.
Did the same thing here. You know, we've got areas that used to be fish meccas. I mean, just they're not there anymore. And it's like all the fish that we do have been in the same place for the last 5 or 6 years. That's where they live now. And it's, of course, we had a lot of habitat loss too with our live oyster beds. I mean, these floods just nuked them, wiped them out. So,
you know, sometimes I think I ought to just take a week or 10 days off in April or May when everybody can catch fish, you know, on the main lake and stuff, and go look in these 2/3 of the lake I never even look at, because there's probably fish there that have set up a different pattern over the past couple of years that people don't even know about, you know. 320 miles of shoreline and a 45,000 acre lake, you'd be kind of egotistical to think you'd learned it all, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you'd think, yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know what to say about it. We just go and do what
fishing.
We do. Just, you know, roll the punches. And boy,
sounds like I'm grapping.
Punch, don't come to Texas.
It sounds like I'm grapping about the fishery, and just the opposite. It's just an underutilized, well-kept secret after 30-something years, and I still talk to people that, well, where are you at? I found you on the internet, but I've never heard of that lake. Well, you know, it's just over here in East Texas, kind of out of the way, and not a whole lot around us to do other than fish and have recreation, so it's pretty nice, though. You still got a lake that you can get around on, and even on a Saturday or a holiday.
There, man. That's a good-looking lake, too. And there's some really good bass in it. That's, you know, that's kind of a well-kept secret. You don't hear a lot about Richland, but, man, there's some good sacks come out of that lake.
I tell you what, you go to any of those, you know, and mostly they're smaller tournaments. It's not your Bassmasters or whatever, but you'll occasionally have a Texas team trail or whatever that 100-plus boats, and it takes that 25, 30-pound five-fish stringer to get you in the money.
I'm telling you. That's good fishing, man.
you know, they don't pull. It's not like an OHIV or a fork that continually throws out 10 and 12 to 13 pound lunkers, but it takes a 6, 7, 8 pound fish to get the big fish for the tournament. You know,
there was a young man this year caught a lunker up there pre-fishing for a high school bass tournament, didn't he?
Exactly. Yeah. He 14 something pounds, hadn't been one like that in several years, but they sneak one in every once in a while. And, you know, you'll have a little flurry of activity. It seems like, you know, maybe a few more boats out a few weeks after that, but, it doesn't have the reputation that an OHIV or a fork has. So, we just don't have the bass tournaments all year like some of those do, but they catch some nice fish. I used to do that before I started guiding, but I don't have the patience. I'd rather put numbers in than the big fish. But even with that, we get a big old hybrid every once in a while, kind of a bonus fish.
Right, you like that action, man.
Yeah, I do too.
Hey, that's why people go fishing. They book a guide. They're out for bites and pulls, buddy. A lot of customers don't care about size. They just want a lot of bites.
I think there's a lot of truth to that story you've heard, I'm sure, over the years, again and again, the four stages of a fisherman's career. One is I want to catch a fish. Two is I want to catch a bunch of fish. Third stage is I want to catch a big fish. And the fourth stage, and this is where quite a few of the folks that started fishing with me 25 years ago are at now, I just want to enjoy the day.
Yeah, I know.
I got quite a few of those 75 to 85 year old guys and gals that we have trouble getting in and out of the boat occasionally because of new knees and shoulders.
Right.
But man, we still have a good time. It's hard to beat get out there and enjoy it a sunrise is. Or whatever.
I know, man. I'm with you, and I'm creeping towards that more every day.
I hate to admit it, but I'm there. I still enjoy it so much, but you know, I'm not quite as mad as I used to. I don't do any of those second trips a day or anything like that anymore. It's still enjoyable though. So I'm been blessed and get to meet a lot of nice folks around the state that have become friends that were customers 20 years ago.
Sure do. And you know, you're right up 45. It's not that bad a drive from Houston, really.
I've got a lot of folks, Spring, Conroe, the Woodlands. Uh-huh. It's just, you might as well say it's about halfway between there and Dallas, because you know North Dallas is about an equal amount of time, and I got a lot of people from up in Plano and Allen stuff like that. They'll drive down and. They got lakes all around them, but if they're having fish on a Friday or Saturday, they don't like to get out on a Lake Louisville or Lake Ray Hubbard. There's too much recreation going on this time of year.
Oh, there really is. Those lakes get inundated with, you know, well, Dallas is a giant city now.
Yep.
What's the big town closest to the lake there, Madisonville?
You know, if you put a circle around RC, you got Corsicana, Palestine, really Fairfield, the little town there, and then Athens, kind of north, south, east, and west, you know, and in 25, 30 minutes in either direction, and you'll be there at one of those towns that, you know, there's a golf course in most of them for people that don't fish, and there's a couple of nicer, you know, chain restaurants and stuff, but it's just little towns around a big lake.
That's what I wanted to say was Corsicana. I don't know why I said Madisonville.
Madisonville's not that far, you know, south of it, you know,
well, true.
Centerville, whatever.
Right.
People make their stop at Bucky's and get their beef jerky before they come up the road.
Yeah, I grew up, a lot of summers I spent as a kid with my grandparents over in Groesbeck, and I had an aunt and uncle that lived in Mahia, or Maher, however you pronounce it, Maher.
Uh-huh. Then, where is that? Yeah.
You mean Mexia? No, it's my
Mexia.
Hair. Okay, well I thought it was my hair. But oh man. And I had another aunt over, you know, an uncle in Palestine. We used to go over and fish Lake Palestine when I was a kid. And
yep.
We didn't have a lake in Groesbeck like they have now. you know, what is that, Lake Limestone over there, I believe?
Limestone. I have folks that fish with me that maybe live over near Waco or something, and they'll fish limestone, and it doesn't ever get any press, but it's a pretty good crappie lake, white bass, catfish. I've never been on it. It's a small lake, but people tend to catch quite a bit of fish.
Plant lake, right? They built that power plant there, and that's where the lake came from.
I think you're right. Yeah, it kind of just hidden over there somewhere in between here and Waco.
Yeah, we'd go to Fort Parker, you know, in the afternoons.
Yep.
My grandmother would take us. My grandpa was always, we'd fish in the mornings, and he'd come home, work in the garden, and take a nap, and she'd take us to Fort Parker, and, you know, the old Quanah Parker deal, the whole story.
Yep.
I heard that story.
The story.
Times.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And,
yep.
And there's a little place up the road on a big hill called Horned Hill. And that's where my grandpa was buried with his three sisters. That's where my grandmother buried him. Horned Hill.
Horned Hill?
Like a horny toad. Horned.
Horned Hill. Okay, Horned Hill. I thought you said corn. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. I've not heard of that one. That must be like Ethel and Bug Tussle, where my wife's family's from.
Ethel and Bug Tussle.
There's actually a Bug Tussle. It's up near Lake Ray Roberts.
Right.
Between Sherman and Ray Roberts up there. There is actually a Ethel and Bug Tussle.
those were the days up there in that part of the country, you know.
Yep.
Spend half our summer up there with our grandparents. We'd go all over the place. My grandma was real active.
Good days.
Yeah, she
that's
took
what I did. Away. I grew up fishing with my grandpa and my dad, cane poles and crappie in the springtime and stuff like that. You don't forget. I can't remember what I did yesterday, but I can remember fishing with them 70 years ago almost. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so.
Then we'd get real energetic. We'd all go up to my Uncle Bill Crisp over there in Arkansas. And
we're in Arkansas
there for a week. Magnolia.
Okay. I grew up in Texarkana. That's where I went to school and lived most of my early childhood and high school days and whatever.
Right.
But I used to venture up into Arkansas occasionally and fish when I was bass fishing later on in life, Billwood. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but it's a pretty good lake up there in Arkansas.
Yep.
And then occasionally you'd go way up in there to Hamilton and some of those bigger lakes up near Hot Springs and stuff. Pretty country up there.
It is.
White River, Buffalo River, stuff
sure
like that.
It's hot
camp
in
out.
Summertime up there in them woods, man. Golly, smother up
well,
there.
That's what I remember, those little clear streams like the Buffalo River and whatever where we'd camp out to the kids. So, good times.
Yep.
You're probably headed up on a commercial and go home sleep, aren't you?
I'm ready to put a wrapper on this thing in about 3 minutes.
Are you fishing any of this next week, or is the weather going to allow?
I'm leaving today. I'm going to go down to South Texas, and I'm going to fish down there for a couple of days. And see if I can catch a big one. But
I hope you do. We got trips scheduled every day, but I think we're going to miss a couple of midweek days. Just watch the weather.
Right. Well, we'll see. I know that golf course up there at the Byron Nelson is wet. Golly, Friday, man, they were walking around after that rain delay, and you could hear the slushing under their shoes walking on
isn't
the fairways. Man, it was wet.
Yeah, I got to figure out something to do because I can't watch my Rangers. It's just tearing me apart. They can't score a run, and they got one of the best ERAs in the American League.
they're actually just a little bit better than us. We've got an unbelievable ERA going, too, this year. Our pitching's been great so far. And
I don't know how many, but I bet we've lost 10 one-run games. Games where we scored one run and lost by one run. Just terrible. But that's baseball.
It is.
That coach, you say that's baseball. I can't remember which one he was. But
that's baseball.
He kind of told it all.
Long season.
It sounds like it. Maybe not. Maybe they're turning around. They're in a division where you might not have to be too many games over 500 to win a championship.
I don't know. I think our division's going to be – pretty competitive. You know, everybody's playing about the same kind of caliber ball right now. So, hey, may get down to the end like it did last year. You never know.
Maybe people can get back and avoid injuries and get the vats going. They got the pitching going. Seems like they can't get them both at the same
time. Well, if you get them both at the same time, then nobody can touch you.
So. Who knows? Hang in there, man.
All right. Well, Roy, somebody wants to come up and hang out and catch a lot of fish. How'd they get a hold of you, buddy?
903-389-4117, gonefishing.biz. And right now, Mickey, we're booking June. I've got what we call a will call list for May, which it's just people book April, May so far, but we still got June openings, and I put them on a will call list. Every week something happens.
Yeah,
so
you get a cancellation. You bet. Slide them in.
Take care, man.
When you're out and about over there, tell all my good friends over in my hair, hello.
My hair?
Yeah, my hair. All right, buddy. See you. All right, that's Roy Simmons. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. But guess what? We'll be back next Thursday morning, bright and early at 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610, KILT Houston.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.